What are some things that you hoped for when you were little, when you were young? What are some of the things that you dreamt of, some of the dreams that you had for yourself? And how have those things changed now that you are older, now that you are no longer a child? What do you hope for now? What are some of the things that you think about, the things that you really wish for yourself? It's interesting, like my journey, when I think about those questions, when I answer those questions. When I was young, my hopes were so simple. I always hoped that I would not be able to go to school the next day, or that there would be a snow day. And if you listen to some of our youth group students last week, that's what they were really hoping for. That was their like prayer request. That's what they were celebrating and joyous about. I was worried about how I was going to get home, and they were talking about, oh, I hope school is canceled tomorrow. I hope school is canceled on Tuesday, too. And that's something that they were jokingly to me or were requesting as a prayer request. Please pray that Tuesday school is closed as well. And when I reflect on that, I realize that when I was young, I had very simple hopes, simple dreams as well. When I was in kindergarten, my hope was to become a baker. I don't know why. I think it was because one time I helped my mom for like 5 minutes while she was baking cupcakes. And all my job was just to stir the batter. And for some reason, I thought I did such a great job that I thought I could become a baker. And when I was in kindergarten, I thought, I'm going to be a world-famous baker when I grow up. Now, obviously, if you've tasted any of my baking, you know that that has not come true. I hope you never have to taste my baking. But that was my dream. That was my hope. And so the good thing about hope, the good thing about having some kind of dream in that way, is that you have some sort of expectation. You are excited about the prospects of it coming true. And so I never really shared this with anyone, but before I went to sleep at night, I used to have all these thoughts about what I was going to be when I was a grand old baker. And I thought, I'm going to have my own shop. I'm going to make cupcakes. It's going to be famous. There's going to be lines like around the block for my baked goods. And, you know, it was just a happy thought. It was a happy place to be when I thought about the things that I wanted. And I could see kind of the way that it would unfold. And now we know that it was a silly dream. It was a silly hope. It didn't come true. It's not the reality of who I am today. But that period of time, to hold on to even such a silly and such a stupid hope in some ways, such a naive hope, you know, it brought a lot of excitement into my life. It brought a lot of joy into my life. You know, that's what hopes and dreams can do. That's how powerful hope is. Now, the flip side of that is if you don't have it in your life. You see, hope is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful influencer. It can really decide your mood. It can decide your actions. It can really shape the way that you see and view your life. If you're in a place where you're upset, where you're frustrated, where you're disappointed with where you are in life, but you have hope, still you can see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a future. There are better days up ahead. But what about if you are hopeless? What if you live in a place where there's an absence of hope? Then your circumstance determines everything. And when you find yourself in a circumstance that you're not pleased with, if you do not have hope, then it can lead to very drastic measures. It can lead to a lot of depressing things. It can be the end of things. It is one of the saddest things, I think, in this life, to live a life without hope. It's hard to really imagine living a life without any kind of hope for the future. Now, I've not been in a position to live that life, so I'm not an expert in it. I'm not able to speak about it. But a lot of times, when we speak with people who are going through depression, who are struggling, they cite this lack of hope. They have this absence of hope that there will be a better day, that things will improve, that things will turn around. And I think in some ways that leads to drastic measures. You know, what do you do in this life if you don't have hope? If you don't have something to look forward to? If you don't have something to live for? In many ways, we see a lot of... I'm sorry. It's because I have the thought of something that happened, I guess, in this community this week, which is why I'm having trouble getting my words out. But sorry. The absence of hope can lead to very severe consequences. It can lead to very drastic things. And I'm not one to be able to judge whether that was the reason for things to happen in this world. But what I do know is that we can struggle through difficult times. We can persevere through dark moments in our lives because we have hope. And so one of the scariest things in this life is to live a life absent of hope, to not have hope. And one of the things that I really enjoyed this Christmas season was going to Sight and Sound to watch the play called The Miracle of Christmas. And what I thought the show did really well was that they really emphasized, they focused on the time right before Jesus came, what they were going through, what they had to struggle with. And a lot of the play, you know, I know it should have been centered around Jesus, and it was, but the birth of Jesus is the end of that show. And so the whole point of that show is to show the circumstance in which Jesus was born, to show some of the cultural struggles that the people of Israel faced. And one of the biggest things, the biggest differences that you see in that show is that there's a group of people and they're hopeless. And they're looking at their circumstance, and they're determining there's no way that this is going to get better unless we do this, unless we rebel, unless we have mutiny, unless we have war, there's no hope. Whereas there's another group of people, and they're hoping for the Messiah. They're looking forward to better days. They're looking forward to something that God has promised. You see, that's what I think is important about hope. When there's hope, you know, it's silly sometimes to have hope and just have just plain old hope. Just being gung-ho about hope itself. The example that I thought of was if you just stand in any old place and you hope that the bus will come. It's such a simple analogy. But if you're just standing on a block and you're just going, man, I hope the bus comes here. I hope that I can get a ride. I hope to get to where I need to go, that this bus will stop right where I'm standing at this time. If you hope in that way, you know, you're going to have to be really lucky. It's going to have to take a really one in a million chance for you to catch that bus, that you happen to stop in a place where the bus also stops. So hope in that sense is a little bit silly. It's a little naive. But when you stand at a bus stop, then you can hope that the bus is going to come. And that's right. That's normal. That's good. Because that bus stop represents a promise. It's the it's not a promise that the MTA keeps very well. I don't know if you're familiar with the public bus system. But it's at least a promise. The bus will be here at a certain time. That's not just naive hope. There's hope and there's a promise. And because of that promise, you standing there and waiting for the bus is not nonsense. It's not wasted time. It's not wasted effort. Something is going to happen. So when there is hope, it's important to understand that there's a promise behind the hope, that there's a reason to have that hope. And not only that, the next layer of that is it's important to know who makes the promise. It's important to know who made the promise. If you have a friend, and I have a few friends who are this way, and they'll promise certain things. I promise that I will get to you 20 minutes early. I promise that I will buy that dessert for you when I come over your house. But when they arrive, oh, it was too busy. Oh, they sold out. And I've done this many times. I felt guilty as I was preparing this message and I prepared that example because I used my friends as the example originally. And then I realized I do that to our very own Seokjipsanyim. I promise him donuts from his, you know, one of the donuts that he really loves. And twice in this month alone, I failed to bring the donuts. Twice I've left my house without the donuts, and twice I came home and the donuts were already eaten. So I've done that as well. It depends on who's making that promise. Sometimes they are reliable. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they have a reputation. It's not wasted time. It's not wasted effort. Something is going to happen. So when there is hope, it's important to understand that there's a promise behind the hope, that there's a reason to have that hope. And not only that, the next layer of that is it's important to know who makes the promise. It's important to know who made the promise. If you have a friend, and I have a few friends who are this way, and they'll promise certain things. I promise that I will. And they are able to come through in clutch situations. They come through. And so when I, as a fan, when I watch them, I have hope. Even when things are not going well. I have hope even when it's a big moment. I have hope even if everything is on the line. Why? Because of their track record. Because of who they are. It's funny because as I watch the Yankees these days, there are people that I can notice I have some hope in, I can put some trust into them. And some people you'll see if you ever watch a game with me, when they're up to bat, I'm like, we lost, it's over, let's turn it off. And it's interesting that we think that way as we look at people, but what informs our decisions to feel that way about certain players? In my understanding, I think it has a lot to do with their track record. It has a lot to do with who they are, what they've done in the past. If they've come through time and time again, then it's reliable. Then you can believe them. Then you can trust that they will come through one more time. Then it's reasonable to put your hope in them. But even these players, even Michael Jordan at his best, if you're counting on him to win that game for you, at his best, he's going to be 50-50 for him to hit that shot. Derek Jeter, probably at his best to come through with a clutch hit, is going to be about 30%. It's going to be difficult for them to come through time and time again, to rely on them for every single thing at every moment. But this is where I want us to really focus in on who Jesus Christ is. He's the one who can come through in all situations. He doesn't bat 300. He doesn't shoot 50%. And he doesn't handle trivial problems. He's reliable. He's not the MTA bus. He's the one who always comes on time. He's the one who always shows up. He's the one who's always going to be there. And so when we live in this life, when we judge our circumstances, when we look at the life that we live, maybe we're not in the place where we want it to be. Maybe things aren't going exactly the way that we thought it would go. Maybe we go through ups and downs in our lives. But the thing that we can count on is that we serve a Lord who is reliable, who is worthy of our hope. And when you think about him and what he's done, the type of life that he's lived, the things that he's demonstrated already, the things that he's proven to us, that is the reason that we can put our hope in him and not seem like fools. That's why it's not foolishness or a waste of time. It's not just standing on a block waiting for something to happen. But we trust in who he is and what he's going to do. And so we can put our hope into him. What is this passage about today? It's about this Jesus who decided to come into this world, who was sent by God. And because of his presence in our lives, we are able to have hope, no matter what our circumstance, no matter how bad things get. And what we are reminded of today is that he solved the biggest problem. He solved the problem that no one even thought was the main problem. He solved the problem that no one else could solve. That he would give his life for sinners so that we would be free of sin, so that we could live our lives and be accepted into God's family. We gain that through faith in him. And that's why, no matter the circumstance, we might be suffering. We might be going through a difficult time. But our life doesn't say things have to go well, and when it breaks, when we suffer, everything falls apart. Everything bursts at the seams. That's a life of hopelessness. But because of Jesus Christ's presence in our lives, when we go through suffering, that suffering, it breeds perseverance. And as you go through it, as you struggle through that time, I don't want to give the impression that it's not a struggle. Perseverance implies that it's difficult, that it hurts sometimes, that you're going to go through things that you don't want to go through. But instead of ending with loss, instead of ending with death, instead of ending with nothingness and continuing in hopelessness, because of Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, who he is to us today, what he's going to continue to do for us in the future, we can face that suffering and we can persevere through it. We can fight through it. We can endure it. And not only do we endure it, but we come out with something. We come out with character. We come out stronger. We come out with a better understanding of our place in this world and the Lord that we serve. And once we develop that, once we've gained thicker skin, and we have hope for brighter days, we have hope for the future. And of course, verse 5, it's kind of this going back to the bus analogy, but the hope doesn't put us to shame. It's embarrassing if you're standing and you're just standing in the middle of a block and you're waiting for a bus, you have your Metro card out, but everybody knows where the bus is supposed to stop. And that would be embarrassing for you to do. To wait hours and hours on end if someone came to you and they said, hey, why are you standing here? Oh, I'm waiting for the bus. This is not the bus stop. And that's embarrassing. It's important that you put your hope into things that are not going to shame you, that are not going to embarrass you. And this is the promise. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord did. His love was poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This was done already. Who has been given to us. It's already done. It's not work that's promised necessarily. It's stuff that's already been done. It's stuff that the Lord has already displayed. It's something that he's already doing in our lives. And that's why we can put our hope in him, because he's displayed it already. He's shown it already. He's proven it already. He's given us what we need to get through the times. He provides us with the Holy Spirit. We're able to face the things that come across, that come in our lives, the things that in terms of this world would seem hopeless, would make us feel lost. But this is the situation, this is the circumstance that we were in. We were lost, we were powerless, we were sinners, we were broken, there was darkness. But just at the right time, the godly appointed time, while we were still broken, while we were still sinners, while we were still powerless, Christ came into this world and he died for those who did not deserve it. You see, that's the sort of Lord that Jesus Christ is. That at the right time, he would do the right thing. That he comes through. That he provides even the things that are beyond what we think we need. And that's the sort of Lord that we serve. He knows what we need better than we do. He knows the timing better than we do. He loves us. He has hope for us. And he is the source of our hope. He's come through in the past. He comes through continually in your lives. He's going to come through for you in the future as well. And may your view on your position in life, may your perspective on life not be determined by the circumstance you find yourself in currently, but that you're thinking about where you are in relation to the hope that you have, the promise that you were given, the person that you serve who gave the promise. When you think about all those things, then whether you're in a good place, whether you're in a dark place, whether you're in a high, whether you're in a low, we can still have hope that we're going to come out from the end of it and be okay, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is a reason for the hope that we have. Just think about the type of Lord that Jesus Christ is, the things that he's done for you. And so I go back to my original analogy. It's simple. It was stupid. I wanted to be a baker. It excited me. It made me want to taste more cupcakes. You know, it influenced my life. It made me want to learn how to, you know, be a better baker. I didn't really learn. I didn't actually develop those skills. I'm not a baker. But it at least influenced the way that I lived my life at an age of 5 years old. But I hope that in your faith lives, as you look forward to the things that God has promised, as you look forward to the things that you can hope for, that you can put your hope into, I hope that it changes the way that you live your life, the view that you have of your life, that you can live with some excitement, that you can live with anticipation, that you can live without any fear of what's going to happen in the road ahead. But as you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you hope for brighter days. You hope for things that would normally be unreasonable to hope for, but because of who Jesus Christ is, because he loves you, because of your faith in him, you know that he's going to come through at the right time and in the right way. I pray that you would be able to carry this hope this Christmas season. And that's what Jesus Christ represented for the Israelite people when he came into this world. He was their hope. And they hoped for maybe different things. But he provided what they needed. He provided exactly what humanity needed. I hope that this season would be a season of hope for you. That as you think about who Jesus Christ is, his track record, what he's done, and that you can place your trust in him, and that hope abounds in your life. Now, I don't know the life that you're living. I don't know the struggles that you might have. I don't know some of the things that you are facing as challenges in your life. But my plea, my suggestion, my challenge to you is to hope for better days, to put your hope in Christ, because when you put your hope in Christ, you will not be put to shame, but he will deliver on the promise, because that's who he is. That's what he's done, and that's what he's going to continue to do in your lives. Let us pray. And God, we thank you for being there for us consistently, constantly. Lord, you're the reason for our hope. And we don't turn to things, not our resources, not even just the people around us, not in the good circumstances that we find ourselves in, but Lord, our hope, our trust is in you. You are the one who provides that. And when we think about who you are and what you've done, Lord, it gives us confidence to know that we'll be able to get through whatever we face in this world because of the promises that you give to us, because you are a promise keeper, because of your character. So Lord, we're going to hope in you this Christmas season, and not just to be reminded through the Christmas season, but we want to have that kind of hope in our everyday lives, continuing through the year, every day of our lives. Lord, may we never find ourselves in situations where we are hopeless. May the things of this world never break us. May it never take away our joy. But Lord, as we think about who you are, what you've done on the cross, and may we be filled with hope to help us to continue through in this life, to be victorious in this life, to live this life with joyfulness, with happiness, with fulfillment. We thank you, God, and we love you, and we trust in you. And all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All together.